Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On. It's Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church here with you today, and we have got a program for you. We are going to do an old-school devotional-style program on the book of John. We're going to read out of chapter 1 today. It's going to be incredible. I've got my special guest with me today. My wife, Lisa Radlin's here with us. So,
hello. I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So we're going to just read a chapter of the Bible, and then we're going to discuss it and talk about it and just kind of bring out some of the highlights of it. So if you didn't get a chance to read your Bible yet today, we're going to do it for you. So it's, you know, a little bit of a long chapter. It's not too bad, but we're going to go ahead and jump into it. And I'm going to read out of the New King James Version, and then you're going to comment out of what
version you have with you today. I have the New Living.
Okay, well, let's jump into it. So I'm going to read John chapter 1, and it's New King James Version. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. He says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then are you, Elijah? And he said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said to him, who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who is coming after me and is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, but for he was before me. And I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus, he walked and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And then two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two heard John speak and followed him. Followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida in the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We found him of whom Moses in the law and all the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." And Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Amen.
Wow, that was a big, long
chapter. That was a nice, long chapter. But you know what? It's a great story. It's powerful. I want to kind of walk through a couple of things that stood out to me. And first thing is that it says, "In the beginning." I love how John just... he went straight to the beginning. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God."
Yep, mine says, "The Word already existed." In the beginning, the Word already existed.
Yeah. So I love the reference there about Jesus is actually the Word of God. He is the living Word. So that's the part that immediately stood out to me, Lisa. But what stood out to you in this chapter? I want to hear a little bit on what you liked.
What really stood out to me was in verse 32, where John testified that I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, "The one who you see the Spirit descend and rest on is the one you will baptize with the Holy Spirit." I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God. So I think that really stood out to me about the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. It's funny because a lot of times you'll see those shows where the Jesus movies and all of a sudden you see this little dove fly and like, land on his shoulder. But I don't feel like that's what, it was no dove sitting on his shoulder. I feel like it was the Holy Spirit is so gentle that he descends on him like a dove. And the Holy Spirit is in us now. If you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit is inside you.
Right. You know, the first thing that stands out when you say that to me is that I see Jesus going through a process, and I think he's trying to create a pattern and show us what to do in our lives. You know, Jesus was born into the world through the Holy Spirit. He was born in a virgin through Mary, and then he went and got water baptized by John. John's like, "You don't need to be baptized by me. I need to be baptized by you." And he said, "Suffer it so that we can fulfill all righteousness." And then he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then his ministry began, and Jesus began to minister. So, you know, we at Lighthouse Church are really big on baptism in the Holy Spirit. I know a lot of people have come through our church, and it's been a stretch for them, and, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and all that, but we've been teaching on it, we've been educating people in it, and people are growing at our church, and they're becoming Spirit-filled, and they're walking in the power of God unlike anything we've ever seen before. And I'm so excited at the way things are going, because this is the plan of God, and Jesus is fulfilling it. He walked through it to show us the same trail that we need to walk on. So I not only need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Everybody out there needs that Spirit descending on their lives like a dove as well.
There's such a power in its baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I was sharing this testimony the other day when we had our Holy Spirit class, which we're having another one. We just had one on the 13th and the 20th.
Yeah.
But we'll be having continual classes for 6 weeks
after
Tuesday nights at 7, if anyone's interested in coming. And it's a Kenneth Hagin study.
Come learn more about the Holy Spirit.
It'll be really great. But anyway, I was sharing about how my mom has dementia and how she has a hard time communicating, just regular speaking and anything. Like, I'll try and get her to say my name and she won't even say that, you know. And I've been praying and speaking life over her mind. And one day I was getting ready to go to God's Rock for the service and my heart was racing and I felt really dizzy. So I laid on the ground and I put my feet up and I was just praying over myself. And my mom was sitting in the chair next to me and I was like, "Mom, pray for me, please just pray for me." And I started speaking in tongues and I was like, "Mom, pray for me, speak in tongues." And all of a sudden my mom started praying in tongues. And it was the same language that I remember when I was a little girl, when I was 3 years old and she was kneeling by her bed praying in tongues. And I looked at her and I said, "You're my mom. You're my mom." And then my daughter Jenna looked at me and said, "What do you mean, Mom? You didn't know that was your mom?" I was like, "This is my real mom. I'm hearing her speaking in tongues like she did when I was a little girl." And I got baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 3 years old, when my mom was kneeling by the bedside. I'd asked her, like, "What are you doing, Mommy?" And then she led me to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it was amazing to me because it's like, as much as her mind has been attacked, her spirit is just alive as ever.
Sure.
And I felt better after she prayed for me, and it was just such a blessing. And so there's so much power when you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I want to go back and look at this other scripture in 26 and 29 as well. It kind of ties in with this. You know, John's being hit up by all these religious people, and they're like, "Who are you? What is it that you're doing?" You know, and he's like, "I'm just baptizing with water. But there stands one among you, listen to this, whom you do not know, and it is he who is coming after me, that is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I'm not even worthy to unloose." You know, John is basically saying, I've been sent to prepare the way for Jesus. And you know what? We are the John the Baptist of the world now. You know, we have accepted Christ into our life, and we have been called to go into the world to prepare a path, to prepare a way, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and go out and minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are lost and in the world. And you know, we've got to get busy.
There's so much power when you have the Holy Spirit, and the Lord is going to give you words of knowledge. The Lord's going to give you words of wisdom so you can speak, and you'll have encounters with people, and God's going to speak through you. He wants to be your hands and feet. He wants to utilize us, every one of us. If you're a believer, God's ready.
Yeah.
You're in his army. Get busy. Start winning people for the Lord. Start using every opportunity, no matter where you are. If you're at work, if you're in the store, if you're just in traffic. I mean, you could literally roll down your window and pray for the person next to you. Like, "Hey, I just want to ask you a question real quick. Do you have anything you want me to pray with you about?" "What? Actually, yes. I'm on my way to bring my husband to surgery." "Okay, well, I'm going to pray right now." And you just pray right out loud. And then to say, "Thank you. All right, blessings."
You'd be amazed the scenarios that you can create if you really try, if you really allow God to lead you and direct you in those things. I love this next scripture in 29. It says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.'" You see, John knew the plan and purpose of Jesus. Nobody else really knew that the Messiah's, you know, job was to take away the sins of the world, to be that sacrificial lamb, to once and for all be sacrificed. And that's what the cross was. The cross was a sacrificial altar, okay, where God gave his son and he became the Lamb of God, slain before the foundations of the world. It was already part of God's plan to redeem us all through Jesus. And John's pointing at him and he's going, "Behold, the one who's going to take away the sins of the world. Do you realize out there that your sins have been taken away by Jesus, that every sin that's ever been committed by every person that's ever lived and ever existed and will ever exist in the past, present, or future, all those sins have been taken away by Jesus.
And I've heard of people say, like, I understand, like, my sins from before I became a believer were taken away, but not the ones that are in the future. Well, all of our sins were in the future because Jesus died before we were even born.
Right.
So anything we ever committed was before we ever committed. Any sins that we ever committed were already forgiven before we ever committed them.
Well,
so,
I mean, John's already said it right here. Behold the Lamb of God who's taking it takes away the sin of the world. That's the world's sin, not your sin. It's the sin of the entire world has been taken away by Jesus. So why is there a condemnation of hell? Why is there a rejection? And why is it that the Bible teaches us there's a path that is broad and wide that leads to destruction and narrow is the way that leads to life? Because you have a free will. All of your sins have been taken away. But if you don't allow Jesus to pay the price for your sins, you will have to pay the price for your sins yourself. And then you will be responsible for your sins, and you'll have to pay the payment for that. And that payment is death, and it's eternal separation.
If you haven't received that gift, if you haven't received that gift and accepted Jesus in your heart, then you're basically saying, I'm choosing no.
Yeah.
My answer is no, thank you. I'd rather pay the penalty myself, and I'd rather spend eternity in hell, basically.
I mean, hell is real. Jesus had to go there.
Right.
Jesus spent 3 days in hell.
And you know what I've noticed? It seems like it's the hardest, at least this is for me. I don't know if anyone else experiences this, but the people that you love, like your family members, it seems like it's the hardest to share the gospel with them.
Yeah.
Uncles and cousins and brothers and things like that, because you feel like, I don't know, it's just some sort of blockage there. Like you feel like you're judging your own family, and maybe it's just me. I don't know, but I've had a hard time just sharing the gospel with my not immediate family, like my children, but like brothers and cousins and things like that. So I need to get better about that, because those are the people I love. Those are the people I want.
They're the ones you want to spend eternity with.
Exactly. So it's like, why would I not want to share with them? Because those are the people that I definitely want to see on the other side.
Yeah.
So I need to get busy with that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. I'm going to take that. I'm taking that mission.
Yeah, right. There is a reality of hell, and it is a real place, and people do go there. And, you know, I hate the idea and the thought that anybody would ever go there. And I think so many times when we are afraid to cross those personal boundaries and those barrier lines, that, you know, we really don't have a full concept of how brutal separation from God for eternity really is, and how important it is that we as believers, if we, you know, I would rather, you know, somebody say, you know what, I don't want Jesus, than for me never to make the offer and them to go one day, you know, or to have to hear one day that they never
heard about it. Why didn't you ever tell me?
If you really knew this, why wouldn't you tell me?
Right.
And if we really do believe that, you know, hell is real, we should be fighting with every ounce of our and fiber of our being to tell anyone and everybody that we know how not to go there.
It's just reality. If you saw a car on fire and someone was in there burning alive, you would do the best you could to rescue them. Whether you call 911, whether you run over there with an extinguisher, whether you just try and get them out the best you can, because you don't want them to die.
Right.
And that's happening every day, everywhere around us.
Yeah.
Why isn't there that urgency? It should be the same urgency, because
that's really
eternity is forever.
I like that.
And so we need to be mindful and say, whoa, this person, if they don't receive you, they're gone. And we're not promised tomorrow. So we need to be more mindful and urgent to do the right thing and reach out to the lost.
Yeah, I really feel like that was part of John's heart, you know, when he wrote this book, is that, you know, Jesus is the light of the world. And it says that in verse 7, this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. You see, the world is needing to believe on Jesus. They're needing for Jesus to be their Savior, to be their person that, that took away their sins. You know, it says that John said, I'm not the light, but I'm sent to bear witness of the light, you know, and Jesus is the light of the world. Okay, and if we aren't able to share that with people, we need to really take a good look at ourselves and go, you know, what's going on in me? And I've done it. I've struggled. I've had certain people that I'm like, oh, no, I don't want to share with them. I'll go share with anybody else. But that one, I don't know. But you know what? Every person's life is precious. It's precious to God. And if it's precious to God, then it should be what? Precious to us.
I feel like the love of God should shine through us so much that people just see something different about us.
Yeah. We,
even through our lives, there is just something different about that man. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but he's always happy and he's always seems like he has a positive attitude. I don't know what it is, you know, and it's the love of Jesus just pouring out of you.
Yeah.
And the reflection of Jesus is shining through your eyes. I know we watched this movie a couple weeks ago and it was called The God Man.
Right.
And one of the things the girl said was something that really stood, I think it was Bill Johnson.
Bill Johnson,
she was talking to Bill Johnson and she said, I could just see Jesus in his eyes when he talked to me. And I want people to say that about me.
Yeah, right.
I don't want them to say, oh, what color are her eyes? Oh, they're brown. I want them to say, who cares what color her eyes are? I see Jesus through her eyes.
Yeah, right. No, it's powerful. I mean, that movie really was good. I recommend anybody that would like to see it to go see it because there was so many ideas of how they just were like, we're going to let the Holy Spirit lead us where to go. And they ended up in Alaska, somewhere in the middle of nowhere. But yet God did all of that and brought them to that place to do ministry just with a couple of different people. And they recorded it all. It was powerful.
And he's got opportunities.
Watching God move like that. There's opportunities
every
everywhere.
Day, everywhere. Like we could start our day, Lord, take me where you want me to go. I know I have to be at work today, but I want to be used by you wherever I go. In the midst of everything I'm doing, I want you to be number one. And I'm purposing today to put you first and I'm going to go about your business while I'm doing my business. And
then, that's really good.
So cool.
So I encourage you guys out there listening to the program today, recognize the urgency of the day we are living in and know that everybody that's surrounding you, this could be their last day on the planet. And we have a gospel. We have been commissioned by God to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to share that Jesus is the Lamb of God who's taken away the sins of the world. So I want to encourage you to do that, to share Christ with those around you as much as you can, anywhere that you can. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back here in just a moment.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Just know Jesus is the way. I just know Jesus is the truth. I just know Jesus is the life. I just know Jesus is my God. Love rock music? Love Jesus? If we got the place for you, join us for God's Rock. That's right. God's Rock is a rock music service with a relevant message held at 7 p.m. every first Saturday night of the month at Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. You can get more information at godsrock.life
or call 321-749-7234. The venue's located at 1250 North Banana River Drive. Why should the devil have all the good music? Those upon the rock, we salute you.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. It's kind of different going into that format of reading and talking about the entire chapter, but I thought it was really good today. Lisa, I like the ideas that you brought, and just seeing the Spirit descending and the Holy Spirit. We got to talk about the Holy Spirit. We got to talk about hell. We got to talk about all kinds of different topics that just kind of lit up throughout all of
the Book of John is so powerful.
It is. And, you know, we a lot of times tell people to, you know what, go to the Book of John. Where do I need to start reading in the Bible if I just gave my life to Jesus? So I want to say that to each and every one of you out there today. You know, start reading in the Book of John. Read this entire book. It will transform your life. It'll give you one of the greatest pictures of the Gospels that is out there. It's totally different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There's a lot of different perspective that John had. He was one of the disciples that, you know, Jesus loved the most, supposedly.
Right, and according to himself.
He wrote also the book of Revelation yes. about Jesus. So, you know, he's got a little deeper perspective, and I love that about him. So
on John chapter 1, verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
See, the goal is this, that you would be born of God, that you would come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And many of you listening have already done that. But, you know, there are people that are out there around you, okay? We're not just talking to you. We're talking to you to go and talk to those who are around you. There are lost people surrounding us everywhere we go, every day. So let's become evangelists.
Let's be the light of the world.
John the Baptist, and let's take the message of, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Let's bring that into our daily lives and share the love and passion that Jesus has for his creation, and go and tell them the truth. The Bible says we'll know the truth, and the truth will what?
Set them free.
So people need to know
Amen.
About Jesus.
Yes, and they need healing. They need emotional healing. They need physical healing. They need the love of Jesus. So just go out and be bold and start sharing by praying for the sick and by bringing healing in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, people will respond to you when you actually greet them in love. So guys, we hope you enjoyed the program. This is Kevin and Lisa at Turn the Light On. We'll see you next time on the program.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Maryland, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.